What is happening, New York Rangers fans, and welcome to episode 79 of the New Ice City podcast. I'm your host, Vincent Mercogliano of the USA Today Network, and here we are. July 20th is the day that I am recording this. You guys will be hearing it to begin with on July 21st, and things have calmed down considerably after a wild week last week when NHL free agency kicked off and a lot of other stuff was going on. There are still some balls in the air around the league. Some unrestricted free agents remain unsigned, most notably Nazem Kadri, the center that we know, we thought at least a lot of teams are interested in, and he's lingering out there right now. You have to believe that there are some teams that are trying to sign him still, but maybe the spots as far as teams with the cap space to fit him have dwindled, so not really sure exactly what's going on there. But Kadri and a handful of others remain out there. A lot of guys obviously signed on that opening day last Wednesday, but maybe a few more are lingering than we anticipated. And then the biggest rumor right now on the trade mill is Matthew Tkachuk of the Calgary Flames, where it looks like maybe they could be parting ways now that Johnny Gaudreau has signed with the Columbus Blue Jackets. Calgary, which I thought was one of the better teams in the West last year, now looking at possibly losing its top two players. We're going to have a little bit more on the Tkachuk stuff later on in the show, a little tease for you there. But as for now, and the New York Rangers, the majority of their offseason work got done really in less than 24 hours. If you look at Wednesday afternoon last week into Thursday morning, they signed Vincent Trocheck. Obviously, their number one move, the big thing that we were all waiting for was what were they going to do at center. They end up deciding that Trocheck is their guy. And I think as more information has come out in the days since then, it's become even more clear. Now, you guys knew I had talked about Trocheck being a guy that I believed the Rangers had interest in and I thought fit them quite well and I thought was going to be viewed as an alternative if they couldn't sign Kopp or Strome. But now that we saw what happened with Kopp and Strome and the fact that those guys were willing to sign five-year deals elsewhere, the Rangers probably could have lured at least one of them back here on a five-year deal. They were willing to go the two extra years for Trocheck. So as I touched on a little bit last week, that tells you how much the Rangers valued him and viewed him as an upgrade over the alternatives that were in that price range. They could have gone fewer years and stuck with one of the guys that they had here and knew better, but they wanted Trocheck. And the more I've talked to people in the last week, the more it's become pretty obvious that the Rangers were targeting him for a while. Now, beyond that, we know they solved the goalie issues. They signed Yaroslav Halak. They signed Louis Domingue. Those are basically your number two and your number three moving forward. They make the Patrick Nemeth trade to clear some cap space. They signed Ryan Carpenter on Thursday morning. That was sort of the last, really, I think, impact signing that they made up to this point. Carpenter is a guy who I believe has a really good shot at making the NHL roster, whether it's as the fourth line center or as maybe the 13th forward. Made a few other signings for some AHL depth pieces, but it's really been quiet in the last handful of days. Now, of course, the question that I find in my mentions daily since then and the last shoe that we are all waiting for to drop is the Kaapo Kakko signing. That is the final piece of this offseason for the Rangers. That doesn't mean that they're not going to do anything else or I would rule out a trade completely or anything along those lines. But you look at where they stand right now and it's pretty obvious that the one spot that they have open and the amount of cap space that they have to fill it, all signs point to Kaapo Kakko signing soon. I know everybody is getting anxious and impatient. I understand. I've been telling you guys for weeks that the framework for that deal is in place. I've been told that repeatedly. I still believe that it is going to be a two-year bridge deal. I would be surprised if it's anything but that. And I still do sense confidence that the deal is coming soon. I'm recording this on Wednesday morning, so I have to be somewhere this afternoon, so I'm getting this done early. Would not shock me if a deal is done by the time this podcast comes out. And I kind of expect that you will hear about something getting done by the time the next podcast comes out. I think it's close. I really do believe that. I do believe that the Rangers are, if anything, haggling a little bit over the money right now. I think that for them, they're motivated to keep that deal as close to $2 million per season as possible. My current projection for their roster leaves about $3 million in cap space. So if they give Kako $2.5 million of that, they're looking at very, very little wiggle room heading into the season. And that is with carrying a 22-man roster. Right now, I think carrying a 23-man roster, at least to open the season, is going to be really difficult for them. So I believe that the Rangers think a couple $100,000 here or there is going to make a difference for them. And that might be the holdup on this deal right now. But again, the confidence seems very high that a deal will get done at some point soon, whether it's today, tomorrow, in a week. I do believe that ultimately the deal gets done with Kako. Could there be some smoke screens here? Could something come out of left field that surprises us, like a trade? I wouldn't rule anything out. But again, everything that I'm hearing is pointing in the direction of a deal coming soon and there being no reason to panic on that front. So Kako, deal should be the final piece of the offseason for the Rangers. I know Tyler Mott is still hanging around. At the time of this recording, he is also still available as an unrestricted free agent. But barring a trade that would free up cap space, because again, I can't see them bringing in Tyler Mott back unless they get rid of somebody. I know people have brought up Ryan Reeves. I think that would probably be the logical guy to look to if you were going to move somebody, because that 1.75 that he makes is approximately what it would take to sign Mott. Mott might be looking for closer to two, but you're in the ballpark at least. But I have not heard rumblings of Reeves being moved at this point. I think it would be a little bit of a surprise. And you heard Chris Drury himself say last week that he thinks it's a little too tight for them to bring Mott back. So I'm not expecting Mott to re-sign, even though I know the Rangers had interest in making that happen. I just think the cap situation as it stands right now dictates that they can't do that. And again, for me, it's really coming down to just Kako. And then you can pretty easily visualize what their lineup and roster will look like. I wrote about this for Wednesday morning. The story went up on loha.com/sports/Rangers. I can quickly run through some of the key points, but what I tried to lay out in that story are all the factors in play right now when you look at the lineup and when you look at the key roster decisions that the Rangers will have to make at training camp. I know we have a few months to get there, but I wanted to at least paint the full picture and lay everything out for where it stands right now. And of course, once we get into September, we'll readdress some of those things. But now that we know the Rangers signed Trocheck and some of the other minor moves that they have made, I think it kind of crystallizes what we're looking at right now. And a lot of the key points that I was making in that story come down to the forwards. We're going to talk a little bit about the defense on this episode, but I think you know at least five of those six spots are accounted for. The goalie situation obviously is crystal clear. So the forwards is, I think, where there will be some intrigue as far as where the different pieces fit. And I think the top six is shaping up right now to be some combination of Kreider, Zibanejad, Lafreniere, Panarin, Trocheck, Kako. And the reason I believe that is for, well, there's a few reasons. I know some people have made the point that it would make sense to keep the kid line together because of how well they performed in the playoffs. And while I understand that line of thinking, and I don't think it's a crazy outlandish idea, we saw that that line was used for roughly 13 or so minutes a night in the playoffs. Based on the level that those players perform to, and based on the fact that you need them to take on more responsibility and grow and become players that you can use in more prominent roles, I believe that the necessary next step for the Rangers is to feed them more responsibility and feed them more ice time. And I think, knowing Gerard Gallant, that if you kept that third line together as it was in the playoffs, that would result in reduced ice time for them. You know he would lean on the top two lines. You know that when the kids were grouped together, he seemed, for whatever reasons, a little reluctant to really throw them out there in all situations, especially defensive situations. So splitting them up and moving at least Lafreniere and Kako into the top six, I don't think Hedl's going there right now because we know that Trocheck was told he's going to be the second line center, at least to start this new contract. So moving Kako and Lafreniere into the top six gets them more ice time, gets them more on their plate, and I think is the best way to further their development and help them take the next step in their careers. And with that being said, it makes sense to put Lafreniere on the right wing, which we know they toyed with a lot last season and ran with for a stretch, along with Kreider and Zibanejad. That line had a fair amount of success together. And then that would leave Panarin, Trocheck, and Kako as the second line. How would that second line mesh together? That's a major question mark going into the season. But I think at least that would be the starting point for the Rangers. When they roll out lines on day one of training camp, that's kind of what I'm expecting to see right now. And then depending on how things play out, how everybody looks, you can tweak from there. And we know Gallant won't be shy about tweaking, but I'm just talking about the starting point right now. And that's the way that I see it. You move to the bottom six, you know you're going to have Hedl in the middle of that third line. I also think that Barclay Gaudreau and Sammy Blais are locks to be somewhere in your bottom six. That probably goes without saying. And then Vitali Kratsov, as I mentioned last week, all signs are pointing to the Rangers using him right now. Unless a trade happens, which, you know, I'm not ruling out. I'm certainly not ruling that out. But all signs are pointing to him being a guy on an entry-level contract, very affordable for the Rangers right now, which is helpful in their cap situation. And with some upside, Kratsov is looking like a guy who very well could end up starting the season on that third line. The way I have it projected right now is Blais, Hedl, and Kratsov on the third line. That leaves Gaudreau as the main piece that you're building around for your fourth line. Is it possible he could play left wing on that third line and Blais plays on the fourth line? Yes. But I'm leaving Gaudreau on the fourth line right now. He could play center. And then the two incumbents, if you will, on that line are Dryden Hunt and Ryan Reeves. I think Gallant will give them the upper hand going into training camp because he trusts them. He knows them. He's loyal. We know how loyal this coach is to quote-unquote his guys. So I think Hunt and Reeves are maybe the favorites going into camp. But I think Carpenter is a guy who has a really good chance to earn a lineup spot. And if he were to play center on the fourth line, you could have the ability to move Gaudreau to either wing. Gaudreau, we know, can play anywhere. So Carpenter, I had penciled in my lineup as a guy who I believe will make the opening night roster. Lineup is to be determined. And then you got a lot of depth pieces who are going to be competing for spots, a couple young guys that we're going to talk about on this lineup. But those 13 that I mentioned would be my favorites going into camp. And again, the defense we'll touch on in just a little bit. So we've spent a lot of time on the offseason movement, especially on last week's episode. That was pretty much exclusively devoted to free agency. And we did talk some NHL draft, but we didn't spend a whole lot of time on development camp. And that's what I want to shift gears to now. I spent so much time at development camp last week talking to several prospects, a lot of different guys, a lot of guys that I'm looking at for our upcoming prospect rankings, which I'm really starting to get my hands dirty with right now, and they should be coming to you late August is kind of the timetable. We'll be rolling them out over a series of 2 weeks, but I'm working on finalizing that top 10 right now and seeking a lot of opinions, talking to people from the Rangers and so forth. But I got a chance to watch a lot of these prospects up close at the MSG Training Center last week for development camp. And the more I thought about what I want to do with this week's episode, the more I thought it made sense to share some of those clips, similarly to the way that I did at Breakup Day this year, where some of the conversations that stood out to me and some of the guys that I think you'd be most interested in hearing from, I've cut clips. Most of them you'll hear me asking a question and then the player responding. There's a couple in there. I think Dan Rosen from NHL.com is included in the clip with Brennan Hoffman. You might hear a couple other guys in there too, but a few of them were one-on-ones with me and prospects, including this one that you're about to hear. And we're going to start with a couple of this year's draft picks. And we'll start with Adam Sikora, who impressed the Rangers so much during this camp that they decided to give him an entry-level contract on the final day after that final scrimmage. Now, does that mean that he's going to be on the Rangers this year? No, absolutely not. His entry-level contract can slide, which I believe it will. The Rangers are not going to start the clock on that this season. Where he's going to end up is sort of to be determined right now. He was the first overall draft pick for the Medicine Hat Tigers of the WHL in the import draft. So he is very much on the radar to potentially go to Canada and play juniors next year. He's also still under contract with Nitra. his team from Slovakia, and he has the option of playing there. He told me that he won't be making that decision until after the World Juniors, so you'll definitely be able to see him in the World Junior tournament coming up next month. A lot of things going on for him right now, very exciting time for him right now, and you're going to hear the excitement in his voice in this clip. Here's a little back and forth between him and I, and then I'll come back to address my impressions of him after you hear this.
What do you think the Rangers liked about you?
I know that maybe every team like me, then I'm a hardworking player. I try to do everything on maximum, give a lot of energy and my character.
I can see that even out here. You seem like everything you do is fast. Is that something that you have always done?
Yeah, from my childhood I try to do things because I know that I'm not as great as possible, so I try to do these simple things and get improved, so yeah.
Are you a guy who has a lot of energy with everything you do?
Yeah, I've got a lot of energy and I try to get a lot of energy to everything that I do.
So tell me about your hockey experience. I know the team that you played on. You were on the men's team the last two years, right?
Yeah, last 2 years, yeah.
So getting to play with older guys like that, were you surprised that you were able to do that at such a young age?
Yeah, I was very surprised, but I'm so thankful to my agent there and to managers in Nitra that they give me a chance. And it was the best year of my career still, because I play in a man. I was in a world championship. I play against, I don't know where, world juniors. So it was a nice season. And I hope that every next season will be better.
Is there any, when you're playing against older, stronger, big guys like that, do you feel any intimidation? Do you feel anything like you have to prove something against them? Or does it feel like you just play your game no matter who it is?
Yeah, I try to still play my game. I know that, as I said, I'm not a great. I still have some weaknesses. But I don't feel scared about higher players. I try to play physically too, and it doesn't matter who is against me.
All right, and there you have it. That is Adam Sikora, the number 63 overall pick from the 2022 draft for the Rangers. Late in the second round, they drafted him, but I can tell you the Rangers feel like they had really good value in getting him at that point in the draft. It sounds like he's a guy that they would have considered late first round, early second, if they had a pick there. They love what he brings to the table, and what he brings was very apparent to me during the course of development camp week. I mentioned this when I had Chris Peters on the show a little bit last week, but this guy, and you heard me say it to him, everything he does is fast. He's just all over the place. He shows no intimidation, and that's what I was asking him about at the end there. It doesn't seem to matter to him who the competition is, how old they are, what the pedigree is, anything like that. He was flying around the ice, being physical with people. You saw him kind of joking around and smiling at some of the bigger guys on the ice. He actually scored the first goal in the scrimmage on Friday, and it wasn't anything too sexy or exciting. It was him chasing down a rebound and burying it because he wasn't afraid to charge the net really hard. So that's what the Rangers like about him. They feel like his speed, his forechecking ability, his I don't give a you know what about anything attitude on the ice is going to make him potentially a guy that brings a lot of energy and kind of ticks opponents off on their third potential line. I mean, who knows what line he's going to play on, but I think that's sort of the role that you can envision him playing once he gets to the Rangers. And again, they were impressed with him so much during camp that they said, let's get this guy under the entry-level contract now. Let's show him the faith that we have in him. It does not mean that he's playing for the Rangers this season. I can confirm and pretty adamantly tell you that he will not. He's still only 17 years old. He'll turn 18, I believe, in September. So he's got a long ways to go before he's NHL ready. But this is a guy who, for such a young player, has been playing against men for the last couple of years. Now, the Slovakian League is not at the level of some of the other European leagues, but if he goes to the WHL next season and at the junior level really tears things up and makes a big impact, you could see the way it's trending, and maybe in a year or two, the Rangers do look at him as a guy who's ahead of schedule and ready to make an impact on their roster. So we'll see how his progression goes, but the thing that really stood out to me was the speed and the hustle, and just the way that he seemed to be having so much fun in everything that he did. Even the interview, you could hear how fast he talks and how excited he is about everything. So he's a guy that I think Rangers fans, if he ultimately makes it here, will love because of the way that he goes about his business and just his all-out effort in every single situation. With that, let's shift gears now to the next guy that the Rangers took in this past draft, and that is Bryce McConnell Barker. Now, McConnell Barker is a guy that they end up getting in the third round, late in the third round, number 97 overall. You heard Chris Peters say it last week. This is a guy that a year or so ago, many people thought was going to be a borderline first round pick. And that's what I started asking him about in this clip that you're about to hear. And then I'll give you some of my impressions of him after you hear this.
Does it add any fuel or motivation? Just a few people that I talked to. I know there were years where you were considered maybe a guy who could go in the first round. Does going where you went, does that enter into your motivation thought process at all? Or is it kind of not really that big of a deal to you?
Yeah, I'd say it's definitely a little motivating for sure. Ranked maybe at the start of the year, end of the first round, anywhere in the second round, and falling to, late third. But it's definitely motivating for me, and that's only going to help me in the future. And I'm just going to train hard and work my way up to make this team in the future.
Are you the kind of guy who tries not to look at the rankings and stuff like that, or is it hard not to? I mean, I know you talk to different guys and they say they try not to, but it's kind of you peek at it every now and then.
Yeah, I mean, if people say they don't, they're lying to you. I think every player does look at them. You try not let it get to your head too much. You just play your game. If you're ranked, high, good for you. If you're ranked low, just keep playing your game. And that's what I did. Wherever I was ranked, it didn't change my mindset. I just played my game and my style of hockey.
And is there a sense of relief now just knowing I'm a Ranger and I'm going to, do whatever I can moving forward to make it here?
Yeah, exactly. It's nice to know where I am and that I'm in a great organization and a great city. So it's definitely nice knowing I'm a New York Ranger. It's, relief for sure. The stress sitting in that chair just waiting was an experience. So, no, I'm really happy to be a New York Ranger. So a little bit of stress, and I'm happy that this is my home now.
I really appreciated the honesty and candor from McConnell Barker there when I asked him about how he felt about dropping in the draft and whether or not he was paying attention to those rankings leading into it and if that factored into his head or made it feel more disappointing when he kept slipping. And some guys might downplay that, but as he said, if you say you don't look, you're lying. And my experience talking to whether it's scouts or coaches or the players themselves is that this has become more and more of a factor for young players over the years is because of how prevalent this stuff is now, because of how easily accessible everything is on the internet, these guys find themselves getting a little too caught up sometimes in, okay, I'm ranked here, I better go here. And that also adds to, in some instances, feelings of entitlement, feelings of, okay, I'm rated this high, I belong in this spot, I belong ahead of this guy, I should get this, I should get that. And I think in McConnell Barker's case, what I was trying to ask him about is, how is he going to handle that? Is that going to be motivation for him? Did that make him feel disappointed? Does that not matter to him? And so you heard his answer there, and he admitted that he did look at that stuff, and he did feel like, okay, I'm probably going to go here, and then he ends up going there, and sitting around and waiting, I'm sure, was not easy for him. But now we'll see how he handles it. And this is a guy that we talked about with Chris Peters last week who's probably going to need a few years to percolate and develop in the juniors still because he did not quite have the production. I mean, he still had almost 60 points, but he did not quite have the production that you would expect from a guy who was maybe going to be a first rounder. And now we'll see where he goes from there. And if he all of a sudden starts putting up a point per game more or has the kind of leap that we saw from guys like Brennan Othman and Will Cooley as they progressed in their junior career, well, then all of a sudden it looks like the Rangers have a steal on their hands. Definitely a big kid, definitely a kid who has a lot of room to grow in his game. I did not think he was a huge standout at development camp. I think a lot of these guys, when it's their first time, are a little bit in awe of the situation and sort of trying not to sink and trying to hold their own and maybe putting a little bit too much pressure on themselves. Not saying that I know for a fact that he was putting pressure on themselves, but I'm sure that they all feel a certain level of pressure. And so I didn't think that he was one of the big standouts to me among some of the other guys who have more experience and are older and all that. But he's definitely, definitely a guy to keep an eye on in the next season to come because I really want to see where he ends up. He missed a full season in the OHL because it got canceled due to COVID. And a lot of people feel like that was a setback for him. He got a full season in last year. He said that he felt like he got better as the season wore on, got more comfortable, got more in the rhythm of finding his game. And now we'll see if he can parlay that into a really good season coming up beginning in the fall. All right. Now we're going to shift to some of the more established prospects. And we'll start with a guy that I know a lot of you wanted to hear from, and that is Brennan Othman.
Last year at the end of camp, training camp, you told us that your goal when you went back to the OHL was to be one of the best players in the league. Do you feel like you accomplished that? How do you assess your season?
Yeah, I feel like I was one of the best players in the league. I feel like I accomplished all my goals I set out. I think I accomplished the goals that myself and the team set out for our organization. And our organization did a great job this year. I did a good job myself this year. I wanted to be a top five player in the league, and I think I established that. And it was a good year for myself, and I'm proud of myself, but also proud of my organization as well.
Do you feel like you have anything left to prove at that level?
It's a good question. I'm not too sure. I think the year I had was a great year, but I think the only thing I need to prove is to be able to win. I want to win a championship. I didn't get to, we lost in Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals, and we were so close, and it was right there in our fingertips, and we just let it slip. And I think the only thing I need to prove is that I can win a championship there, and I can carry my team to a championship. And we just got cut short last year.
I ask that because it's either there or here. There's no AHL option for you or anything like that. So, do you feel the season you had personally, not as a team, personally, is good enough to graduate from that level?
I think so. The NHL is a big step. Obviously, playing for the Rangers is a big step. They're a good young team with veteran leadership as well, and I stated that in Montreal. And if I can come here and if I can learn, get a few games in, stay as long as I possibly can, I think that'd be great for my development. I think it'd be great for everybody. And if I don't end up making the team this coming September, then hopefully it's always next year. And but there's a point where it's enough's enough, and you want to work hard and try to make the team. And hopefully it's this year, and I feel like I can do it.
So I wrote about this dilemma with Othman last week, and a lot of you know it at this point, but basically his situation dictates that he's either going to make the NHL roster, which admittedly is a little bit of a long shot. He would really, really have to blow the doors off at camp and force his way onto the roster, I believe, to make that happen. Or he has to go back to the OHL, which is the league that he dominated last season, and I think that would raise legitimate questions about, is that the best thing for his growth? Could that not make him complacent, but would that be complacent in the sense of his development? Is that going to help him continue to progress and take the steps that he needs to take to become an impact NHL player in the near future? This is a guy that you'll see is going to be very close, if not at the very top, of our prospect rankings. This is a guy that the Rangers feel really good about, but still only 19 years old, and you want to make sure that everything that you do is in the pushing him in the direction of becoming the type of player that you want him to become at the next level. His answer, I thought, was a little telling, because when you heard Dan Rosen first ask the question about NHL versus going back to the OHL, because again, he is not AHL eligible, he said it's a good question. So I think he was trying to find the right words, and I think he gave a pretty diplomatic answer saying, well, if I go back to the OHL, the one thing that we want is to find team success. I want to lead my team to a championship, because his team, the Flint Firebirds, came very close last season. They made it to Game 7 of the Western Conference Final, where they actually lost to Will Cooley's team, the Windsor Spitfires, and were obviously one of the best teams in the league that year. So next season, if he's back there, which at this point is probably the likelihood, he'd have to aim for something like that to really keep himself motivated and keep himself pushing. But it's a situation where, if you're asking my honest opinion, I wish they would just let him go to the AHL. That is quite clearly the logical next step for him. I don't think the Rangers should be forced to put him on their NHL roster quite yet, especially if he's kind of in that middle ground, which it seems like he is right now. So you've got a guy who's too good for one league, not quite ready for the NHL, but there's a middle ground that you won't allow him to try. And that just seems like it's kind of unfair to me. It's unfair to the prospect above all else. So kind of a side note there. But Othman, I thought had a pretty solid development camp. I don't think he was necessarily dominant. During that scrimmage, he was on the blue team, which was the losing team. The white team dominated that scrimmage. Offman had the only goal for the blue team, and he definitely showed that if you give him any little bit of time and space, he can get off that shot really quickly, and he was looking to make something happen for his team. Also, I know I posted a clip of this. He had pretty good effort, I thought, in the defensive zone. One really good back check to prevent a breakaway opportunity for Will Cooley jumped out to me for sure. I was happy I was able to snag the clip of that. So I thought he performed pretty well in development camp. But if he's going to force his way onto the NHL roster, he needs to do better than just good. He needs to be a standout. He needs to be sort of a dominant force. And we'll see what he looks like at NHL training camp. He will be there, but right now, all indications that I'm seeing and getting are that it's kind of a long shot for him to make the NHL roster, which means he's probably going back to the OHL, and that is not an ideal situation for him. You could kind of hear it in his voice and in his tone that would be a little bit of a disappointment, but he also tried to express that he would make the best of it, and he does seem to understand that is a probable outcome for him at this stage. So we'll see what happens with Offman, but I want to let you guys hear from him a little bit. Now we're going to move to the blue line and the Rangers' best defenseman prospect, who is at development camp, and that would be Matthew Robertson.
Does that urgency increase for you that you've been here for a few years and we know you're looking to hopefully crack the NHL lineup soon?
Oh, for sure, yeah. I mean, my goal next year is to make the Rangers. I think it's a big offseason for me, and it's going to be a big year next year. And I learned a lot last year just being in Hartford, and just with my little time spent up, just kind of practicing with them, trying to just to see how they are up there, and just how they conduct themselves and how they practice and watching playoffs. I mean, it's just a different animal, and just seeing, having that experience now and getting all that under my belt and knowing a little bit more what to expect in next camp, the urgency definitely goes up.
It was your first season in Hartford, right? What was the transition like?
I mean, just playing with bigger, faster, stronger players. I learned a lot, especially about my game, just offensively and defensively, and just things I need to improve on. And I worked a lot with the D coach, Smitty, and did a lot of video with him throughout the season. And I think got a lot better on the little details of the offensive side of the game as well as the defensive side.
Could you elaborate on some of the areas pointed out to you to focus on?
Yeah, for sure. Just on the defensive side, positioning, angles, just little things to be more efficient in the D zone and make it easier. And just on the offensive side, just getting shots through, knowing when to jump up and in little pockets, and just simplifying my game as well.
You guys, there's so many defensive prospects. Your draft class had a few of them. There's been a lot in the last few years. What does that do when you're looking around and you know that there's only so many spots and there's a lot of you guys that are trying to get there?
I think that just raises the competition. I mean, we're all competing against each other, and we're all close to each other. We're all buddies, but at the end of the day, I mean, we're all competing for a job.
There you heard Matthew Robertson, who was definitely the, I guess you'd call him, highest rated, best defensive prospect at development camp for the Rangers, but the caveat there is that the guys that were considered his peers for a while, namely Braden Schneider, Nils Lundqvist, and Zach Jones, were not invited to development camp this year because the consensus, or based on what they've accomplished so far, all those guys have some NHL games under their belt. Robertson does not. The Rangers decided that those guys had sort of graduated from the development camp stage. So Robertson was there, which in some ways I think benefits him because it gave him a head start on the competition and a head start on making a positive impression on management heading into the new season. Robertson is a guy who, based on what I just said in the pecking order, is behind those other three. Now, Schneider, we know, is pretty much locked into a spot on the bottom pair because he came up at the end of the season, got over 40-something regular season games under his belt, and then played all through the playoffs. And the Rangers love Braden Schneider. So Braden Schneider, you can pencil him in to a lineup spot for opening night. This other spot on the bottom pair, as it stands right now, the Rangers have traded Patrick Nemeth, and the Rangers have not made a signing for any established NHL veterans. So right now, it's shaping up to be a competition between all those young guys for that left-handed spot next to Schneider. I believe the Rangers should allow that competition to play out. I believe that they need to find out which one of those next three, whether it be Jones, whether it be Lundqvist, or whether it be Robertson, is ready to step up and play in the NHL. They need answers on these prospects sooner rather than later, because the ones that aren't going to fit on the NHL roster, I do believe they need to explore trading them before their value on the trade market deteriorates. At least one or two of those guys is going to end up in Hartford, but at least one of them, I believe, needs to make the NHL roster this season. I wrote about this in the story that went up on Wednesday morning. I would give Zach Jones a slight edge on the competition going into training camp. Again, he's a guy that has some NHL experience under his belt. He led Hartford in points among defensemen last season. He's a smaller guy, and I know there are concerns about how he'll handle the physicality of the NHL, whether he's ready to play defensively at that level. But Schneider is a guy who you know comes with the reputation of being physical and being strong and being hard to play against and being really reliable defensively. So Jones profiles as a good complement to him, a guy that can move the puck really well, that can push up in the rush, that can make really good offensive contributions, could potentially be the quarterback of that second power play unit next season. So I'm giving Jones a little bit of an edge, especially because he's a left-handed shot, and Lundqvist, who you could say a lot of similar things about as far as his skill set is concerned and his offensive ability, but Lundqvist is right-handed, and the right-handed spot is occupied with Schneider right now. Does that mean Lundqvist can't play the left side? No, I wouldn't rule that out, but Jones is a natural lefty, and that might give him a slight advantage as well. Robertson, though, is the sleeper in this competition. Robertson, you could see it during development camp. He's a big, big guy, much bigger than Jones and Lundqvist, listed at 6'4", looks like a big, strong kid. He doesn't play with a whole lot of physicality. He's not like Schneider in that sense. You're not going to see him hunting for big hits quite like you will with a guy like Schneider. I think he still seems to not have that edge in his game. He almost seems like he's a little too nice for that, if I'm being honest. But you see that he's polished in the sense of really good with the stick, excellent with some poke checks, and his ability to find ways to strip the puck from guys, always seemed to be in sound positioning. He's got such a long reach. He covers a lot of ice, and he looked like he was really difficult for guys to beat one-on-one. I thought he was savvy in those situations and did not let people that he was defending get off high-quality chances, whether it was in the one-on-one drills that we saw early on in the week or during the scrimmage. He's an impressive defensive player. He's not a guy who's going to wow you with his physicality, but he is a guy who I think is going to be sound with his positioning and really good with the stick. And he moves the puck well, too. He seems to always be very calm when he has it on his stick. I thought he did a good job of clearing it out of the defensive zone. Doesn't push up in the rush too often. I didn't see him use his shot a whole lot. I don't think he's going to rack up points at the next level, but if you're looking for a guy who you kind of know what you're going to get, and we know Gallant is going to value defensive responsibility and going to value size, well, Robertson brings those things, and I think that makes him sort of a sleeper candidate, and it wouldn't shock me at all if he were to surpass Jones and Lundqvist and end up being paired with Schneider, who, by the way, he began last season paired with in Hartford. So Robertson is definitely a guy to keep an eye on, and that left-handed defenseman competition on the bottom pair, I think, is one of the only spots where you could see a true competition to see who ends up emerging and starting on opening night. With that, let's get to our final clip from development camp. And this one is the guy that I think was probably the MVP of development camp, and that is Bobby Trevino.
What made the Rangers the right spot for you, you felt like, coming out of college?
Well, for one, I'm a Rangers fan growing up for a long time. And then their persistence on me. Had a pretty long relationship with Jamie Harrington, and they stayed on me throughout the year and years before. So I thought I really appreciated that. It's kind of like the same thing at UMass. UMass was the only school that wanted me, and they were on me since my junior year. So kind of same thing here. Just one of the first people who appreciate me, who I am, and don't overlook me.
What do you feel like, you mentioned getting overlooked. It seems like that's something you've probably dealt with for a lot of your life. How does that fuel you, and how have you maybe taken advantage of that in some ways?
Yeah, of course. Being an undersized player, lighter weight, you know, people don't think you can play in the NHL. Obviously, I believe differently. I'm going to work my way there and earn my way there. But, you know, it's what you do with failure that really, you know, determines who you are. I've gotten cut from teams, you know, not drafted, various other things. That definitely are in my head, and just makes me want to prove them that wrong that much more going forward.
Does it get old hearing the same things over and over again when people are talking about, you know, weaknesses or whatever?
Not really. I mean, maybe at first I was pretty angry, but just kind of expected. I know that no one's going to give me anything. Doesn't matter. I just have to earn everything that I'll get in life. Pretty much, yeah.
What are the strengths that you have that you feel like help you overcome some of that stuff?
Yeah, determination, heart, grit. You know, I feel like I'm a skillful player, but I think my heart and my passion are probably biggest attributes. There's not a moment on the ice where I quit on a play. Fear away from a hit, fear from a block shot, anything like that. I think those are probably my biggest attributes.
And there you have it, Bobby Trevino, the pride of UMass, the pride of Long Island. That is a Suffolk County kid, as you said, or as he said, I should say. He grew up as a Rangers fan living on Long Island, similar to a guy like Adam Fox. And he definitely, to me, ended up being the story of the week. Now, everybody knew that he was a guy who produced a lot of points in college. He was third in the NCAA as a senior, a Hobey Baker finalist. I think he finished third in the voting in that. Without a doubt, one of the best players in college hockey for the last few years. He was also a big leader on the UMass team that won a national title a couple years ago. But this was my first chance to see him up close and personal. And I was wowed by him pretty much every day. I think I could make a case that every day that I was there, in one way or another, he was the most impressive player on the ice. I ended up making a few calls about him last week because I wanted to get to know more about him. I ended up writing about him for at least one story, and then I think I touched on him in another one or two as well. He's a guy that a lot of scouts love from the standpoint of that competitiveness and that chip on his shoulder. And it was palpable. You could hear it in that interview. He brought up, I've been overlooked a lot in my life. And he uses that as fuel, it seems to me, no doubt. And he has this drive. One scout said to me, he has a nonstop motor. I believe one said he has an internal engine that never stops. And he just looks like he is all out, trying as hard as he can on every single play. And that really jumped out in the scrimmage on Friday. He was the most dangerous offensive player on the ice. I thought Brett Berard was right there with him, so I definitely want to give Berard a shout-out because I was really impressed with him during the scrimmage on Friday. But Trevino, we weren't keeping any official tallies, but I would have to believe that he led all skaters that day in shots on goal. He was putting a lot of pressure on Dylan Garand, who, give Garand some credit, he made some really good saves on him, but Trevino did beat him in the slot for a goal and had a handful of other opportunities where he put a lot of pressure on him and forced him to make tough saves. And this is a guy who, it looks in certain situations, especially with some of the bigger defensemen that the Rangers have in their prospect pipeline, like he's kind of getting smothered by these guys. But he's so, this is another word that a scout used when I spoke to him, slippery. He's really, really good at not panicking in those pressure moments, keeping possession of the puck, and finding a way to slip through the coverage or slip through the defender and still get himself a high-quality scoring chance. So Trevino, even just throwing his body around, being willing to hit much bigger guys. I know I put out a video of him throwing a hit on Adam Edstrom, who basically has a full foot on him. Trevino is only 5'8", a really, really small player. That is going to be the knock on him. The flaws are obvious, or the weaknesses that people will point out, and that's what he is going to have to overcome to prove people wrong and prove that he can play at the highest level. I think it's a long shot for him to make the team out of camp, although if he does what he did at development camp with the NHL guys during training camp, that would definitely turn some heads. But I think he's a guy who's probably going to have to go to Hartford again. He got a handful of games there at the end of the season after he finished his senior year with UMass. If he goes there and is anywhere near as productive as he was in college when he was well, well over a point per game, then all of a sudden the Rangers would have to start giving serious consideration to giving him a look. He's a guy that I would not be surprised one bit if he forced his way into the NHL conversation at some point this season. Just, again, the work ethic, the craftiness with the puck, his ability to get the shot off in all situations. He's got a really good wrist shot, really impressive offensive player, but not just that, really impressive with the all-around effort. He combines the skill and the creativity with the speed and the hustle. If this guy was 6 feet tall, he would be a prime, prime prospect. But because he's 5 foot eight, he is going to be a guy that's going to have a lot of questions swirling around him and is going to have to go through a lot more barriers than most people would to reach his goal of playing in the NHL. But I came away from that development camp thinking, this is a guy to keep my eye on for sure, and I would advise the same for you. Bobby Trevino, to me, was the number one standout guy of development camp. Now, he's 23. He's a lot older than a lot of these prospects. He obviously has 4 years of college experience under his belt where he was a dominant player. So he had an advantage going into camp against a lot of these guys. And I think the much bigger test is going to be what he does at NHL camp with the established guys. But he looked impressive from what I saw last week for sure. And he's a guy I'll be keeping my eye on moving forward. All right, let's transition now and get to your Twitter questions in the final segment of the show. Okay, let's dive right into this week's Twitter questions, and we will stick with the prospect development camp theme for at least the first one, and that comes from Pistol Pete 2K3, who asked, can Othman and or Cooley make the opening night roster? Now, I didn't play any clips from Cooley there. I thought about it, but I had so many others I wanted to get to, and I figured Cooley is a guy that we probably will talk about more in the coming weeks and months. Othman's chances, I think, are relatively slim for a lot of the reasons that I laid out after you heard from him. The fact that he can't go to the AHL, the Rangers are going to be really reluctant, I think, and hesitant to just throw him into the NHL fire and burn a year of his entry-level contract, because his contract can slide. That's an important part of this. They can add an extra year of control on the back end by sliding the contract forward a year. So Othman, I think, would really, really have to be head and shoulders above the competition to make a roster spot. And Othman isn't the kind of guy you're going to play on the fourth line, at least I don't believe. So he would have to beat out someone on the third line. Now, if something breaks down with Kratzoff, or if there's an injury, or whatever it may be, could Othman work his way into that third line mix? It's possible. I'm not going to sit here and rule it out. But I think for those reasons that you can't send him to the AHL, like let's say you put him in the NHL and he's struggling and you feel like he needs to take a breather, well, then you wouldn't really have anywhere to put him, and you'd be burning in a year of his entry-level contract. Now, I believe, I'd have to double-check this, there may be an option where if he plays under a certain amount of NHL games, they could then send him back to the OHL without burning a year of his entry-level contract. I forget off the top of my head how many games it is. I know it's a small number. I think it's a single-digit number. So forgive me for not knowing that off the top of my head, but is it possible they could say, okay, we're going to give you a handful of games, see how you look, and then make the decision in another week or two? I guess it's possible. But I think the likelihood is, unless he absolutely forces his way onto the roster, that they send him back to the OHL for a year, they slide the entry-level contract to give them an extra year of control on the back end of that contract, and then going into next season, he is absolutely in your plans as a member of the team. Cooley, on the other hand, I would put his odds higher because he can go to the AHL. And if he does not make the NHL roster, he's almost certainly going to the AHL. So even if he doesn't make the roster right out of camp and make the opening night lineup, I think there's a decent chance you could see him at some point this season. I think he's most likely going to go to the AHL. They'll give him a chance to get his feet wet there. He has a little bit of experience there during the COVID season, but really start fresh there, see how he does after his really excellent season in the OHL last year, and then look at him as a potential in-season call-up. But he's also a guy that I think maybe would profile in a fourth-line role potentially. So if he has a really good camp, it's certainly not out of the question that he could push someone out of the lineup and make his way in there, or if an injury occurs, or that kind of stuff. So I would give Cooley better odds at this point because of the contract situation and because he's eligible to go to the AHL. The Rangers absolutely intend to start his entry-level contract this season. So that is a huge factor here that can't be discounted. And the fact that I think you would be more comfortable, you would feel like his skill set is more fitting for a fourth-line role than Othman's. Othman, I could only see making the lineup if he beats out guys to play on that third line, and that is probably a little bit of a stretch to ask for a 19-year-old. Cooley is closer to being ready. He's a year older, and he's a guy, because of his size and his physicality and his strength, I think that they would be comfortable playing in a fourth-line role. That might be the role that he plays for Canada in the upcoming World Junior Tournament. So that'll be interesting to watch. How does he do in that energy, forechecking, defensive fourth-line role for Team Canada? We know he can score at the OHL level, at least. He did a lot of that last season. But if you're playing a fourth-line role, you're going to be spending a lot of time in your own zone too, and I think the Rangers are going to want to see how he can handle that. But there is reason to believe that they can project him in a spot like that at some point this season. All right, let's go to the next question, which comes from Dean Elodin, who wrote, "Is Kratsov really going to be in the lineup after all that's happened? Feels like it's crazy the relationship healed that quickly." Dean, I agree with you, but I would also say this. I don't know if I would call the relationship fully healed, but I think everybody involved has a very mutual understanding that it's best for all parties involved to proceed this way and play nice and see if both sides can help each other out. Kratsov helping the Rangers out by making an impact on their roster for a very easily digestible average annual value, and the Rangers helping Kratsov out by letting him show the rest of the league that he is a good player. Now, he is very motivated, from what I understand, to put all that stuff behind him and finally get a legitimate shot at being an NHL regular. So for him to pout or to continue to demand a trade when you know the Rangers aren't going to do it just because you say so, he really doesn't have any leverage from that standpoint. To continue to do that doesn't benefit him in any way, shape, or form. What will benefit him is being in the NHL next season and proving to people that he can play here. So he is focused on that from all the impressions that I've gotten. He very much, I think, wants to show that he is not maybe what he was portrayed to be when he essentially refused an assignment to the AHL last year and went back to Russia. I think there was some name-calling and there was some stuff going on where people were questioning his maturity, questioning his commitment, questioning if he had the character and the work ethic to grind and to prove himself. So I think he wants to very much do that right now. And from the Rangers' standpoint, they weren't able to fish anything that they felt like was fair value back in a trade for him. And now you look at their cap situation. Having a guy with that kind of upside for a cap hit of only $875,000 is extremely appealing. So if he comes to camp and he does all the right things and he does what's asked of him and he plays his hardest and he's able to make an impact and earn a spot, well, then they don't really have any reason to say no to him. So I think the business side of things has overtaken maybe any personal feelings involved here, and it makes sense for both sides to play nice right now. So that's where this is heading. I've said this before, and I'll repeat it, I'm sure, again in the future. Seeing him get traded would shock nobody, because we know that that is what he wanted at this time, or a little beyond this time, like last October. So seeing that still come to fruition at some point is something that my antenna remains up about. But if Kratsov can't fill a right wing spot for you, particularly on that third line, we'll see if he can even move up further in the lineup depending on his performance. Who will do it? That is the question right now. The Rangers on the right wing side are looking very young and very inexperienced and very thin. They have Kako potentially once he signs. And then what else do they have? They're probably going to have to think about moving Lafreniere there, as we touched on in the beginning of this show. But he, we know, is more comfortable on the left side. What else do they have on the right wing? They have Ryan Reeves. I guess you could play Barclay Gaudreau on the right side. I guess you could maybe move Sammy Blay to the right side. But you don't have established guys who have offensive upside at that position, really, beyond Kako and then if Lafreniere switches there. So Kratsov is needed right now because he can play right wing. If Kratsov, things were to break down with him, or if he doesn't perform well in training camp, maybe that would open the door for a guy that we just talked about, like a Brennan Othman, to sneak in there. Othman has played more left wing, but he said that he's comfortable on the right side as well. So maybe it's possible a guy like Othman could beat Kratsov out. But Kratsov is a few years older. He's been very productive in the KHL, which is widely considered the second best league in the world. And there's only one more challenge awaiting him. That is proving himself at the NHL level. And again, this is, I don't want to call it his last chance, but this is a really good opportunity for him to shut up the doubters and prove that he can play here, put his head down and go to work. And it seems like that's what his intention is. I think it really didn't sit well with him the way that everything played out, whether it was, you know, publicly through the media, whatever. I think it really didn't sit well with him the way that maybe certain people started perceiving him and looking at him as maybe a little bit of an entitled player last year. And now we'll see if he can disprove that narrative. It's on him, and the Rangers have every reason to give him that opportunity, especially if they don't like the trade discussions that they've had and if they don't think that they're going to get equal value in return. We know people were fishing to try to pry him away at a low cost, basically trying to buy while the value was low. The Rangers weren't willing to do that. They held the asset, and now all signs are pointing to them seeing what they have in him once training camp comes along. So hard to believe. I do not disagree with you, Dean, at all. But if you look at it from a logical standpoint, if you put any personal feelings aside, it makes a lot of sense for them to try to see one last time if they can make it work. And again, the tide has turned on that front, because everything I've heard in the last few weeks is he is probably heading for an NHL roster spot. If he's not traded, he's going to be on the roster because they are not going to risk putting him on waivers, which he's now reached the stage in his career that it would require. Chris Drury is not going to risk allowing other teams to claim him. So if he's still here, if he's still a member of the New York Rangers come September, I believe he's going to make this NHL roster, and I believe you're going to get a chance to see him play, and he might finally get that opportunity that he's been looking for to play with regularity, play in the top nine, and showcase his skills. All right, let's get to our final question of the week, which comes from Run CMC, who wrote, do you think they would ever consider a package of Panarin, Kratsov or Kako, and Robertson or another prospect for Matthew Tkachuk? Now, of course, I don't want to go into all these hypothetical trades. I've been getting a lot of these questions in the last few days, now that the rumors have really heated up and the buzz coming out of Calgary is that he very well could be traded sometime soon. I don't have any sourcing to confirm that, so I'm not reporting that by any stretch, but that seems to be what a lot of the chatter is about around the league right now, is that because of the fact that Johnny Gaudreau left to go to Columbus, that Matthew Tkachuk, who is in need of a new contract right now, is also looking to get out of Calgary. And I wanted to address it for a couple reasons. Again, not to go over hypothetical trade scenarios, but because there was a point in time not very long ago where I believe that Tkachuk was right near the top of the Rangers' wish list. This is a winger who, now we know they needed centers. We know that was their priority. But this is a winger who, if you're going to go after any winger, I believe probably would have been at the very top of their wish list, because he just had over 100 points last season. Highly, highly productive, skilled, everything you would want from an offensive player. Plays with a tremendous edge, doesn't back down from anybody, brings a lot of physicality, good defensive player, about as well-rounded of a winger as you're going to find, and he's only 24 years old. The Rangers, I know, would love to have this guy on their roster. Who wouldn't? I'm not breaking any news by saying that. But given the direction that we know Chris Drury was trying to take with this roster and make them a harder team to play against, getting a guy like Tkachuk really speeds up that process, really takes them to the next level. And then when you factor in, this is the guy who had 104 points last season. I mean, he is everything the Rangers would want from a player. So they absolutely would love to have him. But just to use as an example, this trade package that Run CMC proposed with Artemi Panarin in it. Well, Artemi Panarin has a full no-movement clause, which means the Rangers cannot trade Artemi Panarin. And I'm not saying that they would want to trade Artemi Panarin, but just to paint the full picture here, the Rangers cannot trade Artemi Panarin without his approval. And do you think that Artemi Panarin, who we know took less money to come to New York, wanted to be a Ranger, handpicked this as his destination as a free agent a few years ago, and just played on a team that made the Eastern Conference Final, would want to leave all of that to go play, no offense to Calgary, but to go play in Calgary? I believe Artemi is a guy who likes living in the New York area. To go live in Calgary and play for a team that has now lost its two best players in Gaudreau and Tkachuk, and play for a team that we know doesn't have as bright of a future given its current state as the Rangers? Absolutely not. He is not going to approve that trade. And anybody that the Rangers were to include in this trade to make the money side of it work, that's the big element here, making the money side of it work, are all guys with no movement clauses. Jacob Trouba, Mika Zibanejad, Chris Kreider, Artemi Panarin. Those are the big money guys. The Rangers would have to trade one of those, at least one of those, to make the money work, because Tkachuk is about to get a new contract that probably pays him in the neighborhood of $10 million a year. The Rangers, as I told you, after they sign Kako, are going to have less than $1 million in remaining cap space. So they would have to be sending back roughly $10 million in salary to Calgary to make this trade work. And there's just no feasible way to do that. You could put Kako in there. You could put Kratsov in there. You could put Hedel in there. Those guys don't even come close to adding up to $10 million. You could throw prospects in there. Well, the prospects don't help you at all when it comes to clearing cap space, because those guys aren't even counted against the cap with our current projection. So they would need to trade big money NHL players back to Calgary to make that trade work, and all their big money players have no movement clauses right now. So the Rangers, unfortunately for them, because this is a guy who I believe they covet, really can't be major players in any trade talk for Tkachuk if it's going to happen, because they simply can't make the money work. So I did want to address that briefly, because it's this weird scenario where it's a guy that I believe if they were writing down five players in the league that they would most want to add to this roster, I think he would be on that list. I know that they have a ton of respect for him as a player, and that if this had been happening, let's say, last summer when they had more cap space, they absolutely would have been involved. But now that they just gave this deal to Trocheck and they have all of these guys locked up with no movement clauses at the top of their payroll, there's just no mathematical way to make this work unless you convince one of those no movement clause guys to waive it. And I don't see how you're convincing any of those guys to do that. Chris Kreider, lifelong Ranger, loves it here. I don't think he would ever do that. Panarin, for all the reasons I just laid out, wouldn't do it. Mika is your number one center. You're not trading him, and his new contract is just starting. He certainly doesn't want to go anywhere. And Jacob Trouba, I believe, would absolutely veto that trade. He just forced his way out of a small Canadian city in Winnipeg to come here a couple years ago. There's no way that he's waiving that no-movement clause to go back to another city like that and play for a team that isn't as good as the Rangers. So it's just something that, unfortunately, I would tell you guys isn't going to happen. I just don't see how they would pull off that trade. even though I know they would very much have interest in the player himself. So with that, that is going to do it for this week's episode of the New Ice City Podcast. Next week will be episode number 80. Next week will also be the final episode of season 2 of the New Ice City Podcast. So we're going to do one more next week. We'll close out the month of July. Hopefully we'll be able to put a bow on the offseason with a new deal for Kako. And if anything else happens in the next week, we know August is the quietest time of the year for the NHL. So we're going to shut down the podcast for that month. And then we'll be back in September to start season 3. But we do have one more episode to get to. I want to round it off at a nice even number. We'll get to episode 80 next week. We'll have some fun with it. Working on, I hope, what's going to be an exciting guest for you guys for next week. I will keep you posted on that. But in the meantime, enjoy the summer. It's hot out there. I'm getting ready to go to the pool with the little guy. I promised him I'd take him this afternoon. I hope you guys are enjoying the weather, enjoying the summer, and I will talk to you next week.